In a controversial move yesterday, the Federal Communications Commission voted to relax a 32-year-old ban on media cross-ownership. What that means is that now a media company in a top 20 market can own both a television or radio station and a newspaper under certain circumstances. It was a party-line decision. FCC Chairman Kevin Martin and two other Republicans on the committee supported the measure. The two Democrats opposed it. We want to hear from you. Does this come as good news or does it raise concern about diversity in the media? 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Joining us now is one of the Democrats who voted against lifting the ban, FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein, and it's nice to have you back on the program.
Great to be here.
And tell us exactly what this decision means. On the face of it, as soon as you look beneath the headline, it seems pretty restrictive.
Well, right now, there's a ban on newspapers being able to buy broadcast outlets in any community in the country. There are some that are grandfathered that already had them, but no additional stations could be bought.
Mm-hmm. WGN in Chicago, for example.
That's a great example.
Or the WQXR in New York, the radio station of the New York Times.
Those were allowed to be owned before the rule took effect in 1975. Here, for the first time since 1975, the FCC, over my opposition, said that there should be a consolidation between television stations and newspapers or radio stations. The idea is that only in the top 20 markets is it automatically rubber stamped, but in other markets there's a waiver process that would allow that merger to take place and those voices to be silenced. And the way the FCC has done waivers in the past, it's so loose. It's like a wet noodle that commissioners can reshape at will.
Mm-hmm. And there has been a lot of complaints about concentration of ownership. After the FCC relaxed the rules on the numbers of radio and television stations any one company could own, well, Clear Channel, for example, is notorious or became notorious or famous, depending if you had some stock in the company, for buying up dozens and dozens of radio stations, including many in the same market. Now, why shouldn't newspapers be allowed to compete against those companies?
Well, in recent years, we've seen unprecedented media consolidation with giant multinational media conglomerates swallowing up local-owned stations and newspapers all across the country. And as they do that, you find that our very democracy is at stake, that rather than having local voices, rather than having competition in the marketplace of ideas, you're seeing increasingly homogenous media. You're seeing a media that's chasing the bottom line ahead of all else because they're giant publicly held companies, not those local companies that are beholden to the community, that care and live and grew out of the community. I think people in this country recognize media consolidation is a problem already, and they don't want to see us, as we did yesterday, allow even further consolidation.
One of the great concerns has been local news coverage, which has fallen sharply since media consolidation got underway. And one of the arguments that Chairman Martin made in his reasons for voting for this is, say, you could now combine the news gathering capabilities of the local newspaper and the local television station and the local radio station and improve the local coverage on all three.
Well, we've studied this very carefully, and in fact, there may be a little bit of additional news that comes out of that newspaper which buys a broadcast outlet. But the study showed, using our own FCC data, that the overall level of news in that market actually diminishes because other outlets actually reduce their news by more than the new conglomerate increases it. And we don't have an explanation for that. We should have answered that before we moved ahead with media consolidation. Maybe it's because they just give up in trying to compete with that Leviathan that dominates the market and has all those reporters at the newspaper. Maybe they decide to go somewhere else with their resources, maybe a little bit more sports or weather, but less news. So it doesn't increase the overall level of local news in a market.
One of the things we've seen recently is News Corporation, which is, of course, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Fox network, and just yesterday, I think, completed the purchase of the Wall Street Journal. This is one of the nation's very few television networks, owning one of the very few national newspapers. In some ways, is this regulation, this set of regulations, becoming outmoded when you're talking about national organizations like the Wall Street Journal and Fox News?
I don't think they're outmoded at all. You know, people look at the rise of the internet, they look at the rise of different means of distribution of news. The issue is that people still get their news from the same sources they always did, primarily newspapers and television. And when people go on the internet to look at their news, most of them are going to their local newspaper.com or the local TV station.com or maybe NPR.com. They're going to the same places they always did. They're just looking at them on the internet. Producing news, as you know, is very expensive. Getting reporters out there. Blogs are not the same as real journalism. People need and rely on the same sources they always did, even as the means of distribution become new under the internet and all this modern technology.
And finally, let me ask you about a procedural question, which might sound obscure in the beginning, but the commission held a series of, I think, 5 hearings across the country over the summer. 6 hearings, were they? Anyway, but the rule that defines the rule that they voted on yesterday, you all voted on yesterday, that wasn't put out until November, and there was just 28 days, I think, between the promulgation of the rule, actually, here's what the rule is going to be, and the vote. Was that too quick in your mind?
People really weren't given enough time to comment, and worst of all, after this shortened opportunity for people to comment on it, in the dead of night, the night before we voted, major changes were introduced into the item. The decision was made the night before the vote that we learned about this to grandfather 42 stations, to allow 42 stations in 42 markets across the country to have waivers, which allows a newspaper to continue to own a TV or a radio station. Nobody had the chance to look at that. Nobody in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for example, had the chance to comment on that. Nobody from the FCC went to Myrtle Beach.
That was one of the places affected, Myrtle Beach?
It's just an example. I mean, we had Phoenix, Myrtle Beach, all these different cities across the country where their future media landscape was determined the night before a vote by the FCC without any input from the community, without any input from me, without any real discussion or deliberation by the commission. That just shows how the process is broken down and how we just rubber stamp these waivers. It doesn't give me much confidence going forward that we're going to really control the waivers that are going to be allowed under this new rule.
Our guest is FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein, a Democrat who's on the FCC and one of those who voted against the rules yesterday. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's turn to Vanessa. Vanessa's calling us from Minneapolis.
Yes, I'm concerned that the consolidation of the media is creating too much political power. An example is the Dixie Chicks, where an offhand remark by Natalie Maines at a concert in London, England, resulted in the number one selling girl group of all time basically being off the air because the owner of Clear Channel Communications, which owned 95%+ of the radio stations that played bluegrass music in this country, took her off the air.
Commissioner?
This is the thing I heard from people all across the country. Me and my colleague, Commissioner Copps, held hearings in St. Paul near you, Vanessa, and all across the United States. And what we heard was a chorus. People from the left to the right and virtually everybody in between didn't want to see big media get bigger. They don't want a handful of companies dominating their primary sources of news and information. I think American distrust of concentration of power is as old as this country itself. It's rooted in the American spirit. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, everybody tends to agree that we don't want to see these media giants dominate the landscape even more and control the flow of information in this country.
Thank you. I think you answered that. But what are we going to do about it? I'm going to take the rest of that off the air, okay?
Vanessa, bye-bye. Thanks very much. Now the rule has been approved by the FCC. Does it just go into effect?
Well, there was a number of members of Congress, 25 senators, the day before the vote wrote to us on a bipartisan basis, including Trent Lott and Ted Stevens, saying, don't do this. And if you do this, the Congress is going to move to nullify it. So, you know, Congress now has a say in what happens. There's a special procedure that's called the motion of disapproval that the Congress could use to nullify what the FCC did. And they have told us, members of Congress have told me directly, including the chairman of the relevant committees that oversee us, the Commerce Committees in the House and Senate, that they are contemplating trying to reverse this order. So it moves from us to Congress, and that is the elected representatives of the American people.
And how long does Congress have to do that?
Well, they're going to have 60 days after they return, so we'll have until early spring for them to act, should they decide.
And there's some powers that Congress has but chooses not to exercise. They have used this power in the recent past on this point.
Exactly. The only time it's ever been used against deregulation was in 2003, the last time the FCC attempted the most destructive rollback of media ownership protections in the history of American broadcasting. The Senate, then under Republican control on a bipartisan basis, voted 55-40 to reverse everything that the FCC did. And they have that opportunity to do that again. Unfortunately, that last time the House did not act on it, because it was then under Tom DeLay's control, and they didn't even bring it up to a voter. I think it would have had a majority support. So we'll see what happens this time around.
Well, it does have the Commissioner Chairman Martin's position. It's supported by the White House.
It is, and that would go ultimately to the president for a signature veto, so we'll see if it actually gets enacted. But I think it would be a strong signal that could be sent by Congress about their disapproval of this action should they decide to do that.
Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Leon. Leon's with us from Athens in Ohio.
Yes, thanks, Neil, for accepting my call.
Sure.
I am very concerned about this consolidation rule because of its ability to control the communication to a community media-wise. For instance, if this was California and there's a media bias concerning the immigrant issue, it could turn everything. If it's a racial issue, I'm African-American, that's very scary to me because of the power of influence that would have. And it does not shock me, and I would like your guest to speak to this, it does not shock me that this comes during an election time, in an election year where there's a race that could go any way. And I'll take your answer off the air.
Leon, thanks for the call.
This debate goes to the heart of our democracy. You're exactly right. Central to our democracy is a rich and varied supply of news and information. An informed citizenry demands what the Supreme Court called the uninhibited marketplace of ideas. You don't get that when a handful of media giants dominate the landscape. I think you're exactly right. I mean, you said that you are a minority yourself. Minorities own very, very few outlets in this country to have their own voices heard over the airwaves.
3% is the number that comes to mind.
3%. They're a third of the population, only 3% of the TV licenses. That's why the airwaves don't reflect the American people. We hear as we go across the country from people that they find minorities stereotyped, misrepresented, or underrepresented, or not represented at all. So there is a frustration. What did we do about minority ownership of media outlets? We made it worse. By allowing cross-ownership, you put media outlets even further out of the reach of women and people of color. It really made a bad situation worse yesterday. And we need to turn that around so their voices can be heard, so they can participate in the democratic process. Everybody can. The airwaves should look like America.
We're speaking with FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein. We should point out we did invite the chairman of the FCC, Mr. Martin, to join us. He was unable to because of scheduling problems. We hope we can have him on at another time. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. And this is Zach. Zach with us from Poughkeepsie in New York.
Yes, hi. I have a question in regards to the ruling. I was wondering how it might affect the possible merge between Sirius and XM.
Those are two satellite radio companies. They're the only two satellite radio companies. And up until this point, rivals. They are trying to merge into one satellite radio company. Commissioner?
That merger between Sirius and XM is pending before us, and this rulemaking really has no direct impact on it.
Where is it's pending before you at this point, and at what's the time frame in which a decision is expected? Which way do you think it's going to go at this point?
We're not exactly sure. It's now in the Justice Department as well. It needs both approval by the Justice Department and the FCC. The Justice Department hasn't yet acted. We're hearing that action could be coming shortly, but I don't want to predict for sure. And then sometime after that, presumably the FCC would act, I think probably in the first quarter of next year.
Okay.
Thanks. What do they feel is holding up the actual merger?
Well, it's a very complicated analysis. There's a discussion about what the relevant market is. Is it just a competition between the satellite companies? Is that a market for satellite radio by itself, or do they compete with people who are like NPR, the over-the-air radio, or do they compete with people who are whistling down the street? I mean, there's all kinds of questions about what the relevant market is that the Justice Department and we are wading through now.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Nick, and Nick's calling us from Los Angeles.
Hi. Thanks for putting my question on.
Sure.
I'm sympathetic to the commissioner's desire to sort of keep media from consolidating excessively, but if, as you say, there's a huge groundswell of people that don't want this consolidation of media, and along with the fact that there's massive alternative sources of media proliferating through the Internet as well as just through print, do you not think that the people that support your position would just seek out those alternative media sources rather than the mainstream media, of which many people are now skeptical? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, Nick, thanks very much. And indeed, listenership to radio overall and numbers of people watching television overall are declining as those other sources of information become available, Commissioner.
Well, we have looked at a lot of studies, and study after study confirms that despite the growth of other media delivery systems, broadcasting in combination with newspapers are still the most pervasive of all platforms. When people look for local news and information, they turn to their local newspaper and TV stations. For example, one survey showed that 89% of people say that traditional media are their first and second most important sources of news and current affairs. When people go to other sources, again, you know, blogs are not a substitute for real journalism. Free over-the-air broadcasting is still a very important source of information. And people, sure, they can go seek it out, but they don't want to be their own producers and their own editors. People want journalists to put it together for them, to try to make sense of a complicated world. People are busy. They still turn to the same sources they always did. Sometimes they look to them on the internet, or they try to time shift them using new technologies, but they still don't have other sources of news generation. It's still coming from the same sources. And those are the sources, newspapers and TV, that we allowed to merge yesterday. So it doesn't matter where you go on the internet, you're going to be finding maybe many different voices, but they're all coming from the same ventriloquist.
One final question, Commissioner, and this has puzzled a lot of people, given the opposition that you and others heard in these series of meetings around the country, given the opposition from Congress, why now?
I cannot fathom why we did it now. There was no time sensitivity to this. We had the United States Senate Committee on Commerce that oversees us voted unanimously on a bipartisan basis to tell us to take more time to get more comment from the public. And nevertheless, we rushed this thing through, making last-minute decisions at dawn the night before the vote. I can't comprehend. You have to ask the chairman that question. I certainly thought we should have deferred to the Congress. It was the most brazen act of defiance in the face of Congress that I think the FCC has ever seen. So why we went ahead with it defies my imagination. I think we should have given it more time.
Commissioner Adelstein, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Adelstein, FCC Commissioner. He joined us here today in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.